glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna from Team Radio Sai. Welcome to Thursday Live, coming to you from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe, on this 30th of June 2016. Dear sisters and brothers, as I'm still away from the studio this morning, I once again pre-recorded this episode of Morning Glory, and today you will enjoy the final episode of our ongoing special conversation on the splendor of Sai Pancharatna Kritis. In episode 1, my wise and seasoned guest, Professor Venkatraman, laid the primer for the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. Last week, in episode 2, he enlightened us on some of the fine nuances of musicology, and he touched upon the elasticity of the swaras or the notes, the spectrum of the ragas and their codification, and also on the contributions of Sri Purandar Dasa and Saint Tyagaraja. He also dwelled upon the origin of the Tyagaraja festival. With Bhagwan's grace, I'm quite excited today to bring you the final and the most fun episode this morning. Today, I have two special guests in the hot seat, or should I say seats, namely Professor Venkatraman and my colleague, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash. Together, they give us a never-before-known insight into the behind-the-scenes excitement connected with the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. So please do not go anywhere. Today's episode is a must listen. And do remember to share your feedback on this special series, all three episodes of this special conversation on the splendor of the Sai Pancharatna Kritis. I will be eagerly awaiting your emails and I will dutifully forward them to my guests, Professor Venkatraman and Brother C.G. Sai Prakash. As always, you can reach us at listener@radiosai.org and feel free to CC me at karuna@radiosai.org. Please enjoy the show and have a great day ahead. Jai Sai Ram. Om Shri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, today we are going to learn about the history and some of the behind-the-scenes action leading to the birth of Sai Pancharatnas. These are the Kritis, or the five songs that were offered with much devotion and musical finesse on Aradhana Day 2016. By now, most of us have been educated, to some extent of course, on the traditional Tyagaraja festival. But today, let us hear it from the two individuals who know more than anyone else about the Sai Pancharatnas and how they came about. So I would like to welcome to the studio Professor G. Venkatraman and my colleague Mr. C.G. Sai Prakash. Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram.
And Sai Ram, C.G.
Sai Ram.
Let us start with Professor Venkatraman. Sir, how did you envisage this grand vision of a musical festival of this nature to mark the most poignant day in the Sai calendar?
Well, it is said that the devotees of God are crazy. I don't know whether I'm a devotee, but many people certify me as crazy. So one fine morning I got a crazy idea, which was, why don't we adore Swami with five great songs in the tradition of Tyagaraja Pancharatna?
Mm-hmm. You just woke up and you had this thought.
No, I won't say all that. That is drama and fake. I don't exactly know when I got the idea. But let me tell you one thing. For many years, I have been involved in what you call crazy projects like this. It started with Prema Jyoti exhibition, yes, of many years ago, which toured all over the country. And then we had this Prema Pravaham
for the 85th birthday.
But it was the concluding program, and allow me to say it was the best program
ever. That's true.
He is also party to that.
Wholeheartedly
watched for that. Honestly, Swami liked it, and that is what matters. And then I always had a, you know, as I explained in earlier sessions, a sort of liking for music.
Mm.
So I said, it's about time we did something. Especially because Swami loved music. And he has often said, and I remember one discourse which he gave when I was Vice Chancellor in June, it started in June. Every day was a discourse.
Right.
And one of them was devoted to music. And he talked about great musicians. And he says, when you sing with great love and passion and intensity, you can literally sing your way to the heart of God.
Hmm.
This is called Nadopasana, which we have mentioned earlier.
Hmm.
I said, why don't we have a Nadopasana tailored to Swami? And that's how the idea started.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went on from there.
Now, when you started this discussion, Brother C.G., what do you recall of some of the early day discussions when you yourself and Professor Venkatraman were talking about it?
Well, sir said that we should try to bring about these five songs. And there are two aspects to these songs. One is the music, that is the composition, and another is the lyrics.
Right.
So we had many options in front of us. Either we had one person who could do the lyrics and the music, or we could have two people do them. So those were the initial thoughts. So we were wondering how to go about it after that.
Mm-hmm. So I believe in the initial discussions, there was some contact with Mr. Srinivas, Mandolin Srinivas?
Yeah, actually, initially, the whole concept, as sir explained, was, an out-of-the-box concept. And
it had never been even done while Swami was in the form.
That's true. And
it had never been even thought of. Nobody
yes.
thinks along these lines.
It was easy for Saint Tyagaraja because it was a spontaneous outburst. And it had a very high level of musicology about it, as well as the lyrics. So here we had this predicament, whether we should go for one person for the lyrics and one person for the music. And I think sir is the right person to say what made him talk to Sri Mandolin Srinivas. When he had come, because he would come often to Puttaparthi for darshan. And I think one of those days, probably in November, in the November of 2012, when sir met him, he discussed the idea with him.
And possibly the most blessed project he must have done before he left the world.
That's true.
It was, he also had an early passing on.
See, I had used mandolin as a sounding board many times earlier, especially in connection with providing background music for our series on Swami, video series. I said, will you do the background music for the first episode, Advent?
Right.
He agreed and he did it right here. Just like that, it happened in 2 days. He collected other musicians. He was a wonderful leader. I had made a couple of requests that he should include those tunes, which he did. Since then, I always used to talk to Mandolin. Whenever he came, we showed him our studio. We did, asked him to check it out and so on and so forth. So when this idea came, I said, Mandolin, we should do something like this. He jumped at the idea. And I said, you know, the Swarasthanas must be grand, just as they are in the Tyagaraja Pancharatnas. And he agreed with that. And then we discussed what ragam should they be.
Right.
So there were candidates. I mean, this is a crazy thing. We are trying to celebrate a marriage without either a bride or a bridegroom. But, you know, that's how crazy projects start. And then I suggested some ragas, and then he suggested...
You like Todi, right?
Oh, he liked Todi also.
Right.
And he was so modest, he would simply say, Todi, you must hear from Rajaratnam. And similarly, Paramatmudu, that is in Vagadeshwari, he said, you must hear Mali sing, there is no one else. I've never met a musician so modest as him.
Right.
So we were discussing like this, and then we came up with a list. Todi was in the list as a candidate. It was, I sort of lobbied for Todi, shall I say. And it is a grand ragam, there's no question about it. And we agreed we will end with Madhyamavati. And finally, there was a, what you call a short list of five. And now the question was what to do about it. But Mandolin is so used to playing fast, he also acted fast. He started composing swaras for all these ragas and sent them. Now that was a tall order. It is like saying, here's the skyscraper, now you build the foundation.
That's right. That's a wonderful example.
I mean, you build the Empire State Building and said, come on, now put it down. That is the songs.
I mean, you were not ready.
Nobody can on earth can do that, because these swaras are so complicated to compose lyrics. So I said, thamba, thamba, as we say in Marathi. And then we said, let us get the lyrics first. But unfortunately, that was the time he passed away. And we had no option but to go through the standard route of placing the horse before the cart.
Once we got the tunes, we tried, you know, we tried different people for lyrics. There were some poets who were, you know, they had got national awards for their poetry, etc. But, you know, we had a unique requirement. We needed somebody who was well-versed in Carnatic music, and who had good, you know, grasp over the language, because some of the songs are partly in Sanskrit and in Telugu. As well as good knowledge on Swami.
And I mean, love for Swami.
Love for Swami. Yeah. They could be great scholars, but then they had to have that connect with Swami.
See, that love is very important, because the songs express an adoration.
That is true.
Tyagaraja had the adoration, so the words just came out like that. There was no problem.
Right.
Here, it is like trying to make cake by looking at a recipe book and buying stuff from the store. But that doesn't work. The person must have an intrinsic knowledge of cooking. Then only the cake will be a cake. Otherwise, it will be a fake.
In fact, one good thing which happened was, since we had the tunes from Mandolin Srinivas and we had to actually match the lyrics to that, the charanams, as we call, the paragraphs, stanzas that come out in each kriti, became very, very concise. Because we had to match it to the swara pattern.
So the meter, you had to fit into the
meter.
We had
to fit it into the composition.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll just give you one example.
Sure.
There is one charanam in the first kriti which says, Surya Chandragni Trinetra Shobita Rupa Jita Bhakta Hridaya Pamara Jana Tapatraya Kshayakara Sutra Traya Bodhaka.
Wow.
See, this is a Sanskrit charanam. But given the free hand, a poet would have never written it this way. Got the point. So, because the...
It's so compact.
Yeah, it's so compact.
The point is, the person understood the requirements of music.
Music.
See, this kind of stuff is very prevalent in Muthuswami Dikshadar's kritis. They are all varnanas, that is description of the Lord. This is essentially a description of Swami.
Yes.
Right. So, this is, actually, this just shows Surya, Chandragni, Trinetra, these are the darshans which Swami gave to some of the devotees in the Chitravati days. And
as the sun, as the moon, as the three-eyed.
And the Jita Bhakta Hridaya, Pamara Jana Tapatraya Kshayakara. So he was available for everybody, to the simplest of people, and he gave them these darshans. So, you know, but the beauty of the composition, it became so compact because we had to fit in, retrofit it into the, you know, the composition.
So when Mandolin Srinivas said the tunes,
right,
there was Todi.
Yes.
And there was the last one.
No. Can I intervene?
Yes, please.
See, we conversed on a set of five.
Yeah.
The five were song one, Kalyani.
Okay.
Song two, Mayamala Gala. Song three, Kannada.
Kannada.
Fourth is Todi. And fifth is Madhyamavati. Now, she gave an alternative to Todi in terms of Bilahari.
I see.
So the selection was a list of six ragas.
Right.
But finally what we ended up were five ragas, of which three are the same as we had in the original list, and they are in the same order. Number two song continues to be in the raga Maya Malva Gala. Number four in Todi, and number five in Madhyamavati. the song number 1 and 3, the ragas have been changed.
I see.
That is how it. We have been partially faithful to Mandolin's memory and his greatness.
Right. In fact, it's a very touching story, because soon after he discussed with Sir here in Parthi, I spoke to his brother, Rajesh, and you know, it was hardly 1 week to 10 days, and he had tuned all the 5 songs. He just sat on it continuously. The moment he went back to Chennai, he didn't do any other project. He sat on this and he just did it. And then, you know, after he passed on, his brother was saying that this is the last major project he worked on in his life.
Oh my God, and such a special one.
Such a special one.
Once we were expected to sort of adjust it with mandolin. So give mandolin this and say, now put the swaras for this. He would have done it very well. But mandolin was gone. So we had to find a substitute. And that substitute had to give swara compositions which were elegant, musically of a very high standard, and evocative. The spirit of the song must come out. Tyagaraja had done this. But then he was a master and a godsend. So we had to pretend in
he
this
was Kali. Divinely inspired by That's his true. Deep bhakti.
Who?
Tyagaraja.
Tyagaraja was, I mean, his bhakti was out of the ordinary. He chanted Rama's name 90 million times. So that was a unique blessing. I mean, let's not bring him in.
We feel bad.
Let's pollute him with our dilute level. But what I would say is, our yearning was no less than his. I would like to at least make that claim.
Right.
We also yearned for Swami. We said, we need to adore you in that sense. We need to have songs which will be sung by everybody throughout the ages. And he said, okay, I will take it over. I will do it. I will pull strings. I've got puppets everywhere. And he did it.
I think in the honor of his memory, perhaps we should play a few of his at least some extracts from the tunes.
Right. We have some of the recordings which he very kindly sent us. And so we will play some of those tunes. And as a promise to his memory, we will definitely, you know, get these tunes out as Krithis as well.
I see.
Retrofit it with songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is going to be an equally tough job.
Yes. But because it had to match up to the music of what he had composed.
Okay.
Thank you.
till the moment we thought we were going to do it, we were looking here and there, and we were trying to contact, renowned musicians, some of them possibly, Padma Vibhushans and all that in music, but connect with Swami was missing. They may be scholars, they may be very good at music, but that connect with Swami. And finally, by His grace and inspiration, we had one madam in the music college, Dr. Vasanthalakshmi madam. In fact, she has a very good history in music. And she has done her MA in music and MA in Telugu. So, she has both the language as well as music. And she has worked in the Dravidian University as the head of department of music. And she has guided many PhD scholars and all that. And she has done her PhD in interdisciplinary music.
And she currently teaches at the Satyasai Meerpuri College of Music.
Yes, that's right. So, in a flash, I was consulting with one of my colleagues who works in the Book Trust. Because he's well-versed with Telugu scholars, and then I asked him, madam is here, you think she, because this is a kind of a unique project where you'll have to fit in words with the existing tune. He said, yes, she will be able to do it. And I just borrowed a bike and went right up to the music college, and she was in the middle of a class. I said, let us not delay, let us go immediately and get started. And she was totally alarmed seeing me there, and I requested her. I said, see, we have a project. Would you be kind enough to come and give it a try? And she was very, very forthcoming, and she said, this is a great blessing, and that's how it started.
Dr. Vasanthalakshmi came on board,
yes.
Professor Vasanthalakshmi, and then there was this challenge of fitting it with the ragas.
Right.
And we had, with Swami's grace, access to a new great musician.
Exactly. In fact, we had done lyrics for all the five songs, mm-hmm. and we tried singing it, and there was, I would say, 70 to 75% satisfaction, uh-huh. because
it wasn't fitting well.
No, it was fitting well, but it was not the best.
Okay, wasn't flowing naturally.
It was not flowing naturally because it needed more time.
See,
whole idea was because you had three factors. One is the raga is already composed, the charanams are fixed, and she had to give it in the best of the language. As well as the theme,
okay.
because each song had a broad theme,
yeah.
and she had to fit the lyrics in such a way that it pertained to the theme as well as to the composition.
So how did we pick the five main themes?
I discussed with Sir, and it's actually more or less on the themes of the Prema Pravaham. Because Sir had written initially the five themes for the Prema Pravaham,
mm-hmm.
and so based on those, we had discussed and had written a few lines for each song, broad outline which Sir had approved of. The first song we thought should be on the advent of Swami,
mm-hmm.
the early years,
yeah.
the leelas that he showed. It's much like what Lord Krishna did in his early life. And the darshans that he gave, and the miraculous Kalpavriksha, all those things, features, figure in the first Kriti. The second song is on the divine aspect of Swami. And there we show how he is, bringing back the Vedas. Then about the...
In the early days, Swami used to say that he had come to save the Vedas,
yes.
Veda Purusha.
Reviving Sanatan Dharma.
Sanatan Dharma. And then, some of the miracles which he continued over the years, like Lingodbhava, Vibhuti Abhishekam, and, which prove his divinity, quote-unquote prove. I mean, we don't need a proof, but
yeah.
that...
They provide glimpses of his divinity.
That's right,
yeah.
Glimpses of his divinity. And the most amazing from a human understanding is bringing back someone who is dead. So, some of these things figure in song too. And there is a very beautiful quote which Swami often says, when amongst men, I am a man. When amongst women, I am a woman. When I am alone, I am divine. So that aspect has been brought into this song too as well. And that is the broad theme for song two. Song three is the human aspect of Swami. Yes, he is divine. But when he has come to this earth, how he interacted with all of us, and how he, set an example, how his life was his message, and how he set an example, how he interacted with the students, with the devotees. So some of those aspects come out in song.
I want to add a small footnote here.
Sure.
Yes.
There are many, many discourses
yeah.
in which Swami emphatically stressed the human aspect of Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
He would often say it was important for Krishna to act like a human so that other human beings would accept him and take his advice. He also used to add jokingly, if God came with a strange form, humans will put him in a museum and collect money.
Yeah, charge an entry fee to see him.
That's right. So, you know, devotees and students looked at Swami like a mother, a father,
a friend. Yeah.
So, you know, all these, and he lived all these roles for different people. That was his compassion. And that is his compassion, rather. And the way he spoke, the way he interacted on a personal level, some of those very beautiful aspects are brought out in Song 3. And Song 4 is, of course, as we call, Brihat Seva Patakam. Those are the grand, glorious service projects which Swami has undertaken in and set an example for others to follow. So that, and that is tuned in Rag Thodi. In fact, it just melts your heart, because that is the you know, underlying theme behind the entire composition. It's compassion. It's compassion that drove him to do these projects. These are spontaneous outbursts of his compassion. So this raga fit in so beautifully, because it just melts your heart.
Hmm. Perhaps we can listen to a few lines of this song.
Yes, we should. In fact, if you listen to the first line, that is called the Pallavi of Kali Yuga Avatari Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai. So this is the first line of this Kriti, and let us just listen to a few lines from this Rag Thodi.
Okay.
And then the last song is called Avatara Vaibhavam. So this is the glory of the Sai Avatar, and how his glory reached to all parts of the world while he was still here in the physical form. And also the beautiful three aspects. It's like, you know, reaching a center point, because every path, every spiritual path reaches you to that center point. So there are different ways people, and Swami has given the karma marga, bhakti marga, jnana marga. And in two lines, in each charanam, you know, these have been summarized very well.
Mm-hmm.
What is karma marga? What is bhakti marga? What is jnana marga? So some of these aspects come out in the fifth song.
There is one very important feature of the Sai Pancharatna, which is quite unique as compared to the Tyagaraja Pancharatna. Historically, Tyagaraja Pancharatna, as we discussed earlier, consists of five great songs. sung in Ganaraga, grand ragas. And you may call it as a collection or an anthology. Whereas here, there is an attempt to portray the life of Swami. So if you sing the Sai Pancharatnas, essentially you have sung the life of Swami. In a sense, this is somewhat like Lavakusha repeating the story of Rama in front of Rama.
Very true.
Okay, yes. Of course, that was our theme with Prema Pravam, where we brought in the video. Mm-hmm. But this was kept purely musical at a very high standard of Carnatic music to respect the tradition of Carnatic music. And what we lost in terms of video, we backed up in terms of bhakti and bhavam.
No,
that is a bit of an ad, but actually it comes out that
way. No, it's true, sir. It's true because I have seen with my own eyes. It's not an exaggeration.
Uh-huh.
People shedding tears.
Yeah, I saw
as they're singing it.
Yeah. Very moving.
First time it was sung in this second song, Janabagadeya Ishwarama Tanaya. It goes very high and it stays there. Maybe we'll just play that line. And many of the students here came up and said that was a very touching moment.
Hmm.
You know, here is Swami whom we have always spoken to and who has been, you know, part of us. Suddenly when you realize that He is the divine, you know, that adoration which you suddenly feel when you praise Him and when you adore Him, that is a very touching moment. People, many of them are moved to tears.
Hmm. Sir, I have to ask you this. I know you were so closely involved and you have a great emotional connect with this project. Which is your favorite, Kshiti, of the five?
Todi.
Todi? Okay.
No. Raga is Todi.
Yeah.
Any song in Todi is welcome. And this song is a particular, what you call meaning to me. And it means a lot because it extols the projects of Swami, which is very beautiful manifestation of the human aspect of Swami. And I have done umpteen talks on Swami's projects. We have done umpteen videos and documentaries on Swami's projects. So, to see it encapsulated and exalted in music and set to a raga that is very grand and it is capable of very elaborate nuances was very, very satisfying for me. Because that raga is really one of the most beautiful ragas. And Mandolin used to agree with me. And it turns out, not that the others are less. They are in no way less. Every song has a musicality as well a musicology. That is the grammar. That is the technical aspect. That is there. That is musicology. Musicality is the musical part, musical aspect. If you sing a raga, there are what are called certain swaras, which are called jiva swaras. If you stress that raga comes alive.
So that's why they say we should sing from the heart and the navel.
No, that is for the quality of the sound. But in the raga itself, there are swaras. For example, Lal Gudi, when he teaches, he says, when you play this particular note, me, you must play it like this, because it brings out the life of that particular raga. It says, it screams, this is my unique feature, this is my trademark, this is my nature. So every raga has got some lakshana swaras. It will show its attribute. So when we talk of Swami, we talk of Him as a friend. That is a lakshana. So when you talk about him as a friend, it must sound like a friend. You're talking about a friend. When you talk about him as God, it must sound as if you're talking like God. Right. So the Swaras have got their built-in characteristic signatures.
Right.
And a musicologist knows about that. And a musical person will know how to bring it out. Simply saying this Nishadam is great is one thing.
Right.
But to make it shine in a song in the right way with vibrancy and modulation, that requires a musician.
Musician, that's right. And in fact, by Swami's grace, when
these two features we were able to find in one person,
yes,
and he will tell you about that person.
He is Sri Rajkumar Bharati, sir. And we approached him.
And also,
I must mention, he comes from a great lineage.
Of musical tradition.
Not musical, poetic.
Poetic.
His grand uncle was Subramanya Bharati, who was a revolutionary. He took what you call shelter in Pondicherry. And he was a great devotee of Krishna. He was a poet, great Tamil poet. And he's composed many patriotic songs. And those songs used to be sung in the early days. Short songs, poems, adoration of Krishna and all that, as also patriotic songs. So he has a tradition of what you call poetry, singing, music and so on and so forth. And he used to be a singer himself till he lost his voice.
Yes, in the South Indian music industry.
Yeah, no, he was a regular concert musician.
I see.
He lost his voice and then he had to make a living. So, and since he had a lot of knowledge of the techniques of music, he began to compose background music for films and so on and so forth.
In fact, one of the first projects which he took up as a composer, yes, he had been doing a few compositions after he lost his voice, was Prema Pravaham.
One
of
the
85th birthday. Mm-hmm. In fact, that is again Swami's will. And on the birthday, when he actually went near Swami and offered him a rose, Swami asked him, "How is your voice? What happened to your voice?" And he was so shaken.
No, I think he touched him also.
Yes, he was so shaken up.
Touched his throat?
Yeah, he blessed. He said, I will look after, I will look.
And imagine, for a singer to lose his voice, nothing could be worse.
Exactly, he had the rose in his hand and he was so shaken up, he dropped it. Swami said, pick it up. And very compassionately, Swami blessed him. And you won't believe, in fact, I think it's worth mentioning here, that when he actually had tuned the Prema Pravaham songs, and he had to teach it over the telephone because he couldn't come here because he was engaged with other programs, he couldn't sing even half a line because his voice would crack. And then it is purely Swami's grace, the first two kritis, when he had composed them, when he had actually tuned. So when we went to him and he tuned the first two kritis, the learning track, rough track, he had sung in a studio.
Oh, in 5 years?
Not 5 years, in just 2-3 years.
Oh, okay.
2010.
Yes.
And then this was 2013.
Such a huge improvement.
In 3 years. So he said it is purely Swami's grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because one who could not sing even half a line, for him to sing the entire, and I checked with Shravanam who did the recording. He said, sir sang it in a single take.
And in 2016, Aradhana Day, he was singing in front of the Mahasanidhi.
He has sung three
performances.
Right. All three he has sung?
Yes.
He has sung. He conducted, he sang.
Yes.
First time, only two.
What a
next
grace.
Next five.
Yes.
And this time, five grand.
Five grand, yes. So, 2014, I think, was the first time we sang the first two kritis. Then 2015, we had all the five. And now 2016, we had all the five again.
Plus a big gathering of musicians.
So, that's how the whole composition came about. In the sense, once the lyrics were ready now, and so we checked for consistency in the lyrics. If the lyrics had to be a bit compromised due to trying to fit it in the tune, we took out those restrictions and then checked the consistency of the lyrics. Now the lyrics were consistent, and then we went to Sri Rajkumar Bharati sir, and he just took it up to a totally different level. In the sense, when they actually were doing the track recording in the studio, some of the musicians who had no idea of this, they came and said, what are these compositions? They sound like Tyagaraja's Pancharatna Kritis. but the words are not the same.
Mm.
What are these? And we didn't tell them. They came on their own and said, these sound like the Pancharatna Kritis.
As a matter of filling in the details, I should mention that when this was being done, there were many interactions between the composer Vasanta Lakshmi and Rajkumar Bharti, because the words and the music had to go together. And over and above that, the pronunciation had to be correct. Because Swami was very particular about Telugu pronunciation, and we had to be careful that we didn't offer anything shoddy.
Mm.
So, that was all taken care of. The pronunciation, the complete blending of the lyrics with the music.
Right. In fact, Rajkumar Bharti sir was so particular about the pronunciation, we had this composer, Vasanta Lakshmi madam, speak out every word.
So that everything...
So that he knows how the word is pronounced. And he is such a great musician that in his tune, he made sure that the word is pronounced the way it had to be pronounced. Means you cannot pronounce it any other way, then it won't fit into the tune.
This is extremely important from a historical point of view also. The greatest patronage for Tyagaraja happened to be in Tamil Nadu, for the simple reason Tyagaraja lived and died in what you may call center of Tamil Nadu, Tanjavur, in that neighborhood. So it was a Tamil environment in which a Telugu Brahmin lived, and of course he could speak Tamil, but he did all his compositions
in
Telugu.
Telugu, yes.
Now the musicians who picked up, he had three schools of music for students. One was Umayalpuram, another was Valajapet in the north, third was another village nearby which I forget. All were Tamilians, Pakka Tamilians. They of course came to learn Telugu and all that. But their students, when they learned, they began to split the song in the wrong place.
I see.
So the words would be split and sung. And the audience was so ignorant about Telugu, they liked the music and it went on. And Swami used to get very angry with this. So did Bangalore Nagarathamal. So we were very particular that anything offered to Swami would be in the correct tradition. You can't take a word, split it half, put it in one part of the music and another.
The phonics are very important,
Those things are not given attention to if one does not know the language.
And over years and centuries, everything gets corrupted and loses its meaning. So I think the organic nature had to be retained.
And the important thing is, it has to be done at the start. In physics, we say the initial conditions are important. If you don't launch a bullet or a missile properly, it will go and fall somewhere.
Right.
So the initial conditions must be correct and the trajectory must be correct. We were able to ensure that because everything was under our control. That was one great blessing that we received from Swami. Long and short of it is, there was a lot of factory tuning.
Yes,
right?
Yes, behind the scenes. Because you had to actually discard the first whole attempt and then start over.
Yeah, I mean, we made several trips to Chennai and then we sat and then discussed with him. And some changes in the lyrics and some changes in the tuning, all that had to go through. But, you know, another important aspect is, these are called sangatis. You know, when you take up the first line, the Pallavi, Anupallavi, at the end of each line, it's left, you know, halfway through the...
No, line. I'll explain that sangati a little bit. There are a set of words and there is a set of swaras. So you sing it according to that. Then you change the swaras slightly, because when you repeat the line, if you repeat it exactly, it becomes monotonous. So for musical enrichment, they repeat the line but make a small difference. They repeat a line and make yet another small difference. Of course, if you go on doing it too much, it becomes boring. But they do three or four variations of some important lines, partly to get the message across. Okay? And partly for musical enrichment. These are called sangatis. They allowed variations of in singing a particular line. Now here, 20, 50, 100 people are singing, and in future many more people were singing. So the sangatis were all prefixed. This is the way thou shalt sing. and no other way.
So collaboration is done. Everybody has to follow this algorithm.
Yeah, the rules are read out and traffic rules are there. No violation. Mm. The reason I am stressing this is, in the case of Tyagaraja Pancharatna, the committee just decided that these five shall be sung.
Mm.
But each singer had learned from some his guru. And he will sing according to his guru's way, and all the sangatis would be clashing. And it is a feature of Tyagaraja Pancharatna to this day. If 10 musicians come and sing here and they have done it several times, the sangatis will be sort of a bit fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what the standardization became, predominant. Because
in fact, the musicians appreciated it.
Right. In fact, somebody was even mentioning we should do this for the original Tyagaraja Pancharatna Kritis. The way we have standardized on every sangati and every bit of the composition, that also shows care and, intense work. Because every aspect of the composition was looked into.
This is something like in choral music, you have to sing like everybody has to sing. You don't have freedom. But here, it was not a part of our musical tradition. But luckily, since it was originating, we could impose all the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And since others did not know any other way of singing, they gladly sang us.
Our way. Perhaps this is a good time to play a clip that shows this variation of the same line.
Sangatis.
Yes. Yeah, Sangatis. I think it would be really nice if you could play the first Kriti, which is composed in the Raag Gambhira Nate, which is titled Pranamami Saisha. The first two lines, that is the Pallavi of the song,
mm-hmm.
Pranamami Saisha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Ghana Charita Srishti Stiti Karaka Suganakara Ratnakara Vamshabdi Sudhakara. So these are the words of the Pallavi of the first Kriti. There are a couple of sangatis on this.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, I want to draw attention to the beauty of the composition, because Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara, Sakala Bhuvana is the whole universe. The way he has composed the sangatis for this particular line, Sakala Bhuvana, when you actually hear this clip, you will realize it really feels as if you are going round the entire universe. He's involved, including everything in the universe. Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara. Let us listen to this clip.
Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Gana Charita Pranamami Saisha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Gana Charita Pranamami Saisha Sakala Bhuvana Shubhakara Gana Charita Srishti Sthiti Karaka Suguna
In this connection, I would like to go back to Tyagaraja's Indro Mahanubhava.
Mm-hmm.
In Sharanam, there are many what you call lines, and the swaras are there. For the first line, the swara will start with sa, and the text will also start with sa.
Exactly.
Next one is re, and the text will also start with lyric will also start with re. So there is a beautiful what you call trick.
In fact, these are called swaraksharas.
Uh-huh.
Swaraksharas is where the swaram of the music coincides with the swaram of the word. Now, Sai Pancharatnas abound in swaraksharas.
Mm-hmm.
There are at least, at least 40-50 swaraksharas in the entire five songs. And it's very difficult to be able to manage. That's, for example, let me give an example.
Yes, sir.
The starting of the second song, Sada Bhavayame, which is tuned to Maya Malava Gola Raga. The first line is Sada Bhavayame Sri Satya Sai Paripurna Avataram. So, Sada. Sir and Da.
Yeah.
So the composition is also Sadava, Sada. You know, Sada Bhavayami, Sada is we always worship. But the tuning is also Sada. So we'll listen to the first line and we'll insert the first line here to show what a Swaraksham actually means.
But in the Charanam, Tyagaraja did this for the last song, I know very well. I don't remember about the others. But here, there are tricks like that that have been adopted across the board. That's what he said.
So let us just listen to this clip, Sada Bhavyami, and see how the Swaraksharam fits in.
Sada Bhavyami. Sada Bhavyami. Shri Satya Sai Hari Purna.
Okay. Now my question is, how did we decide who can sing the Pancharatnas?
Initially, we were, because, you know, the first occasion when it was only two songs, few of the musicians who could learn it very quickly, they came and sang it.
Because you had to have knowledge of Carnatic music.
Absolutely. And these are not simple compositions.
Yes.
These are very, very complicated and very challenging compositions. And, you know, a casual learner of Carnatic music will not be able to grasp them. It will take him a long time to get the right swarasthanam, as they call it. That is to sing on the note. And so initially for the first occasion when only two of the songs were sung, we had a few musicians who could really learn them quick. But the next year, when we had all the five sung, 2014, we actually did a tutorial. A tutorial in the sense we did a recording, which we circulated to people. It was not a tutorial as such. It was just a recording of the Kriti itself. So people had to listen to it again and again and then learn from it.
So was this circulated?
It was circulated amongst people who were showing, who had background music, knowledge
limited
of music.
Limited circulation.
Limited circulation, because again, by the time, you know, all the five were composed, in fact, I have written the date, it was on March 12th, you know, sir was telling when are the next three going to be ready. We had already reached March and April was... Rajkumar Bharti sir was telling from time to time, it's almost done. Because he was also, you know, just praying. He said, I was praying intently and these are all inspired. So, it took its own time. And by the time we had already reached March. And so, we were really under pressure because April 24th, they had to be presented to Swami. And one of those days, you know, you won't believe it, I just called him up. Randomly, I had not called him for quite some time, and I called him. He said, how amazing, I was just talking about you. He said, we were just discussing that Vidya Kalyan Raman was right there. She is an established Carnatic musician, and he had taught her the next three songs. The first two songs had already been sung the previous year.
Yeah.
The next three songs had been completed and he had taught her, and she had come back to him and she was singing it and then checking whether it was all sung correctly and accurately. And then he was just mentioning that now it is time to do a track recording. A track recording is a rough recording for people to learn. And that's exactly when my phone call came in. And he was totally surprised.
You know who was pulling the strings behind the scenes?
There's a divine sync in all this.
Yes.
And we actually went to Chennai And we couldn't get a studio because, you know, it was, all studios were busy. So we took recording equipment from here. And we actually did the track recording in his house.
Hmm.
Rajkumar Bharti sir's house. We took a laptop, we took a mic, we took a recorder, everything. And we did the track recording in his house. So that's when on March 12th, we had track recording for all the five songs. And then we circulated to people who really had a grasp of Carnatic music. You know, we spoke to Sundaram Bhajan singers. And see, in Tamil Nadu, as Sir rightly mentioned, there's a lot of interest for Carnatic music. So they were the first candidates. And we gave it to them and all of them, their eyebrows raised up because it was not easy. These compositions were really challenging. They worked very hard. And in 2015... That is the first time when we actually sang all the five songs.
I want to add a very personal note here.
Please.
For one or two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Having been the prime instigator, I was very keen to listen to these songs, all five. Because we only heard five had been completed. But at that time, I was a patient in the general hospital. For reasons we need not go into now. So I was given permission from the director, by the director, to take 2 hours off, with the caveat that I informed the duty nurse that I am going to be absent. I came with foot bandages and all that. And sitting in the hospital and lying down at times, I managed to make a booklet because people didn't know what was going on. We had to introduce Sai Pancharatna to the world. We produced a very nice pamphlet, got it printed, and distributed to the audience so that they could follow what it was all about. It was very nicely done. And at the end of that performance, I had a chance to meet the singers. I went backstage, so to say, quote-unquote, and it came out very well. And I was happy. And I hope that this year, when we are completing 5 years, we would have really a great assembly and things will take off. The assembly was there. The function was grand. Whether the plane will take off is left to history. We hope it will. But one thing has happened. The songs have been taken notice of. And there is a big following for this. Thanks to the tutorial that was recorded by Vidya Kalyan Raman and put on the net along with the Sahityam, it has been noted globally, and in especially in Tamil Nadu, lot of children are learning and they are going to sing it in their samiti from now on. This year, even in Sundaram, they sang these five songs, and in Kerala, there are two big schools of music, in the sense. Music circus, college or music schools with about 300 to 400 students each. Those principals have decided that they will teach it as a part of their curriculum.
Wow.
So, because many musicians have said that musically these songs are as good as any other song.
Mm-hmm.
They, on the purely musical scale, they are good to be sung in sabhas.
Mm.
People sing the songs composed by the Trinity. These could also be sung. And they have equal credibility and musicality.
Right.
So we expect that this will become something like a household habit and a part of the ambient culture.
That's and it could grow into a global event much like the Tyagaraja Festival, because with Radio Sai webcasting live the happenings here, people can join in other parts and Sai centers around the world in different time zones and sing with us. Imagine.
No, I leave it to Swami's button pressing. He can have all the dreams. But let us see. But we have shown, as we did in the case of Prema Pravaham, that it is possible to adore Swami with devotion in the tradition of Nadopasana with five great songs. They are there and it is up to the community to make use of it and benefit by singing it. That's all.
In fact,
and a great tradition can be created. We have planted the seed. It has to be watered and taken further.
Right. In fact, speaking of the tutorial, the tutorial was done very systematically, in the sense each line was sung by the lead singer and repeated twice by the person following. So that made it very easy for people to learn along with the tutorial. Along with the audio tutorial, we also had the notations. We had the notations, and I should mention here the extremely, dedicated work done by some of our colleagues in Radio Sai who are from the music college, Sai Prasad and Arvind Sai, some of them who have really put their heart and soul, Anirudh, and Mr. Reju from the music college, who was absolutely dedicated to this project right from the beginning. And always enthusiastic and always coming in spite of all the ups and downs. They were very, keenly focused on this project. And if at all it has come to fruition, it's definitely the combined effort of all these people. Mm-hmm. Because getting the notations right, it's also a matter of interpretation. Because when a tune is sung, how accurately you can translate the tune into notation,
mm-hmm.
that's a challenge. And it had to go through several iterations. We wrote the notations, we sent it to Rajkumar sir, he made changes, and we had to standardize a lot of that. In fact, when we say we have standardized the Sai Pancharatnas, there's a lot that has gone into it.
Behind the
scenes. See, this notation is alien to Carnatic music. It was a Guru Shishya Parampara.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it like the Vedas. Mm-hmm. Vedas were not written down first. They were just passed on orally from this thing. Whereas Western music had a notation. Mm-hmm. So this notation is interesting. Incidentally, for the sort of as a historical note, I might add that when freedom came, B.V. Keskar was the radio minister, and he began to give a lot of attention to Indian culture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that happened in those days, radio stations did not function 24/7. There will be a morning session, afternoon session, evening session. In the afternoon session, there was a call, Learn Music. So they had a book which used to come in English, it was called Listener. And in Tamil, it was called by equal name. The song, the words would be there. And at that time, one teacher will have sit in with the four or five students. He will actually teach the songs and they will be learning. And then he will correct, no, not like this, like this. And that is how lot of girls learned music, because they could not afford a music teacher. And they
go out in those days.
And they also used to teach Sanskrit like that, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Now that tradition has gone. In a way, we revived it.
Right.
Except we revived it at a very high level. Straight away you go to test.
With lot of checks and balances and quality control in place, so that for posterity we have a solid
not
framework.
Only that, ultimately the final singing is there.
Yes.
The best way to calibrate yourself is this is how it is finally sung. Are you reaching
able to
the,
sound
are
like
you
this.
There in that
right,
ballpark
right. Very true.
So we have given all the benchmarks.
So now, what I want to ask you is that there is such a growing awareness about the Pancharatnas. How can other devotees or singers around the world who have a background in Carnatic music participate in the singing of the Pancharatnas on Aradhana Day in Puttaparthi?
You see, you are now asking an administrative question. Okay. And I am not an administrator. I will simply put it like this. If a lot of people who are interested join together and say this must become a tradition and make a concerted appeal, there must be what you call music heavyweights and all that, and when they say let this be a permanent tradition and we will come and make sure that this becomes an established tradition, because Swami belongs to all, God is the greatest musician and he belongs to us also, and therefore we would like to dedicate this day for this, it can jolly well happen. Because on Aradhana Day, one of Swami's traditions, namely feeding people, is being carried out. So this could also be carried out. There are people who took interest in feeding the masses. They have institutionalized this. So I would say collective prayer can
right.
institutionalize this.
Right.
See, it was sort of driven by a few, people in the background. We can take it only so far.
Hmm.
But if it has to become
to
a grand...
next level, yeah.
Yeah. See, for example, there is a parallel for this.
Hmm.
In the year 2000, there was a lot of problem about computers, whether the computers will work after 2000 AD. This was called the Y2K problem. Hmm. And there was a man in America who made a killing, in the sense that he gave a computer solution which sort of solved all the problems. People forgot that there was such a hue and cry and all that. So he ended up with a lot of money, and he asked, what should I do? And a friend of mine, a classmate of mine, and we were quite close, he was a great fan of Carnatic music, actually quite crazy, and he helped many people to tour America and all that, including M.S. Subbulakshmi. So he said, you invest in Carnatic music. There are a lot of followers, so they created a big database and all that. And that man also built a hall in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And then they celebrate the Aradhana festival there. Musicians go there. Then they get tours all across America. In fact, it's very difficult to get a musician here in April, because they don't have it in January, which is the regular Aradhana day according to the calendar. They wait for spring.
That's Tyagarajas. You're talking about Tyagarajas.
Tyagaraja Aradhana. And they have institutionalized it.
Mm.
That's what I'm trying to say. And it has become a great magnet. People go there. So if we institutionalize it here, the magnet will draw people. And in Thiruvayaru, at least in the old days, when the songs are being sung, even the policemen used to sing. I would say, if a dog were there, it would sing. If a donkey were there. It had become so ingrained.
Uh-huh.
All people would join in it. Mm-hmm. It became. So institutionalization can occur only through popular will and fervor. I cannot command that. And there must be God's grace, and there must be what you call a feeling in the heart of people. This year about 70 to 80 people came.
No, more than that, sir. About 150 to 175.
Okay, I got the number wrong. I stand corrected.
175 people. In fact, there were some very eminent musicians like Trishu Ramchandran. He is a Padma Vibhushan. And then
he's a grand old man of music.
Music. And then we had Vidya Kalyan Raman, then Vasudha Ravi, and then Anuradha Krishnamurti. These are all well established.
And then Embar Kannan
for violin. Dr. Nalini and Dr. Lalita on violin. Then we had Mr. Ramana Murthy Garu on Mrudangam. And then we had Kunnakudi Balamurli and Karthik Narayanan vocal on the djent side. So these are all eminent Carnatic musicians.
And of course, Mr. Rajkumar Bharati.
Of course, he was the one who was conducting and singing.
I just couldn't believe it that this is the gentleman you're referring to who had lost his voice, because
exactly,
as we can see it on the video, he's one of the lead singers.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. He sings quite normally.
Now
it's purely, and he says it is purely Swami's grace. From a person who could hardly sing, because we have heard him, he is able to sing the kritis. I think I'll quickly go through some of the unique features of the Sai Pancharatna, just a few samples here and there, so that we could play some of those samples and people could enjoy and relate to them. I mean, as we mentioned, it's almost like a summary where, you know, the way some of the words have been tuned, keeping the meaning of the words in mind.
I see.
Are very beautiful in the Sai
Pancharatna. So acoustically also you're conveying the meaning.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a meaning which has been amplified with the way it has been tuned. That is one unique feature. And Swarakshara, as we mentioned. And then many of Swami's quotes and teachings have been a part of the lyrics of the Sai Pancharatnas. And then, you know, how Swami interacted with his students, with his devotees, some of those aspects are also brought out. So what I will do is, I will call for some of these charanams to be played, some of, just two lines, and, you know, we can enjoy the beauty of the composition as well as the lyrics.
Sure.
We have already played one or two from the first song. The last stanza of the first song, Adi Antyamuleni Adbhuta Leela Vinodam. That's a very beautiful composition, the last paragraph, because the way sir has composed it, Adi Antyamu Sa Sa. Adi is first, Antyamu is the last. So it says Sa Sa. So we'll just listen to that clip.
Come on.
then Sada Bhavayame, the second song, as we played the clip earlier, the Swaraksharam, Sada Bhavayame, Sa and Da. There are many Swaraksharas in this particular composition, but we will not play all of them. The quote of Swami, which I mentioned, that when amongst men I am a man, when amongst women I am a woman, when I am amongst children I am a child, when alone I am God, that's what Swami says. So that is the seventh charanam in this second song. Purushulalona Purushuduvu, Pasivalunona Baludavu, Mahilal Madhya Mahilavu. So these are the words. So we will really listen to this particular charanam because it's tuned very beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Purushulalona Purushuduvu, Pasivalunona Baludavu, Mahilal Madhya Mahilavu, Anasarigi Manora Gavuli.
Then going on to the third kriti, that is Charana Sevanam in the rag Arabi, Arabi, because it has a very sweet lilt to it.
Hmm.
And you know, this is the human aspect of Swami. So there's a lot of beautiful aspects when he's speaking to the students, when he's speaking to the devotees, when he's interacting with them, how he led his life as a human amongst us so that we could relate to him. I would really try to draw attention to the last charanam again in this kriti, where it's talking about his interaction with the students. You know,
Swami's
interaction with the students. It says, I'll just read out the meaning and then we'll actually listen to the charanam. He says, even the gods are envious of the way Swami interacts with the students, the antevasis. See, there's a word antevasi, which means students who actually stay back with the guru after they have completed the education. So when Swami is actually interacting with the students, there are many who come and go, but many who have stayed back. And so the way he speaks to them, he says, when you grant them darshan and bless them through various divine acts, you know, he's materializing vibhuti, he's smiling, picking, he says, inquiring about their welfare, you know, accepting their letters and bestowing fearlessness. He would often say, sit down, I am wife here, I am with you. No, that entire sentiment has been brought out very beautifully in this charanam. And then he also says, you are mine. In fact, the beautiful word in Telugu, he says, na hakku meeranuchu, you are my right. When Swami would, you know, take the, he said, I take the liberty of correcting you all because I have the right over you. You are my own, so I have the right to correct you. Na hakku, I have the right over you. So that word is put in there. I am yours and you are mine. So this whole charanam, if we were to go and listen to the composition, musically it's very beautiful, but the meaning as well is very grand. It gives us a picture of how Swami was moving around the students and interacting with them.
In fact, this is one beautiful thing that is common to all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a musical video.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well said.
Of Swami's life.
Yeah, it's a musical video.
Exactly.
Of Swami's life.
Well said.
I was about to say photograph, but photograph is static.
Yeah, this is flowing.
This is a musical
it's
video.
Live.
I don't know what that means. You can make figure it out.
Yeah.
Of Swami's life
and
times.
And that's what brings about the emotion, because when we see that event of darshan described so beautifully here musically, and people are able to relate to it, and then it really touches the heart.
And it is worth noting that if you go into the depth of Tyagaraja's songs on a one-to-one basis, he creates a musical video.
Exactly.
Why do you get angry with me? I have done so much for you, and so on and so forth. His moods will change.
So, you know, this is one. So, we will just listen to the seventh charanam here.
Thank you.
Then going on to the next Kriti, that is Kali Yuga Avatari in Rag Todi, I mean, the entire song is a masterpiece, and as Sir rightly said, and it is the most difficult of all the five. All the musicians who came unanimously, they said, talk of any other, ask all the other four.
The raga itself, with its richness and nuances, is not easy to handle unless you are a maestro.
Right.
You slap on top of that a very intricate swara structure,
right,
accompanied by words which are very intricate and full of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme also is very, has a lot of grandeur.
Right.
Because it deals with projects and compassion, which is an unbounded thing which is difficult to describe.
Yeah.
But they have all come together, blended very nicely to give us a song.
Right.
Which you can master in due course and hum all along.
Exactly. You know, the initial few charanams of, there are a few charanams which are descriptive, which describe Swami. There is this beautiful charanam, that is the first charanam in this song. It says, Darahasa Vilasita Vadana Sarojam Kutila Kuntala Virajamanam. He says, like a flower, your face blossoms. You know, your face blossoms like a flower with your bright smile. And then you are adorned with this beautiful curly hair. So it's a very beautiful description,
yeah,
of Swami.
Very vivid.
We will actually listen to this line because the composition is equally beautiful.
Uh-huh.
You know, the way he says Vilasita, the blossoming, the tune blossoms.
Yeah.
And it's very beautiful. First charanam,
sure,
from the Rag Todi.
Because it catches the mood.
Exactly. And this is, by and large, the most beautiful charanam, according to me, especially in the way it has been tuned. You know, this is the fourth charanam in this Rag Todi, and it talks about Swami's water project.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. The tune is so incredible because just like water would gush from a height and fall down, the tune actually goes up and comes down.
Mm-hmm.
You will get an idea of what I'm saying when you actually listen to this charanam.
Let's have a listen.
So as we just heard this, Ganga Jatadara Kataksha Vikshamuna Upponge Sai Ganga. Upponge means it just flows over. And that cascade effect is brought out in the tune. And that's really a masterpiece. So that is one more charanam which caught my attention. And going on to Satya Sai Avatara Vaibhavam. This is the last Kriti. I've just picked, you know, randomly few charanams and few lines. All of them are very beautiful, but two of the charanams which caught my attention here in the last kriti is the fourth and the fifth charanam, where the beauty, you know, he says, the fourth charanam is Bhava Raga Tala Melana Bhajanandame Bhakti Margam. He's talking about the Bhakti Margam. He says, Bhava Raga Tala, all have to come together. Now, the way he has tuned this line is really beautiful, because, you know, that brings out the entire musical genius that Rajkumar Bhatti sir is.
Melody, rhythm and feeling, emotion have to come together, the confluence.
Yes. And the next charanam, that is Soham Soham Soham, that's also tuned very beautifully, because this is the Jnana Marga.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Karma Marga, Bhakti Marga and Jnana Marga. So let us insert the fifth charanam here as well. Soham Soham. So these are the charanams that just came to my mind, and as we discussed earlier, the musicality of all these compositions, as well as the swaraksharams and the way it goes hand in hand in the meaning, it's really a masterpiece dedicated to the master, of course.
Mm-hmm. So basically, such a historic project that you were both so fortunate to participate in, along with Madam Vasanta Lakshmi of Swami's Music College and such noted musicians such as Srinivas Mandolin and Sri Rajkumar Bharati and many others. My question to Professor Venkatraman is, sir, it was an idea you conceived, a thought, and today it has come to this fruition. What's your reflection when you look back and when you look forward?
When I look back, I have to look back at the last few minutes. And I didn't realize there was so much in what I started. This very detailed annotation and analysis of the song, the meaning of the words, and the way the swaras and the bhavas of singing have meshed really escaped my notice when I was sitting there and listening. I was sort of in a flat, exalted state where all these things escaped me. You just feel happy. Everything is so beautiful. But now, looking back, we went through lots of ups and downs. And that is typical of anything that you try to do for Swami. And every time you run into a stumbling block, and we did run into many a stumbling block.
But you are a pro at handling them. You've had Prema Pravaham.
No. I have realized something. Pros don't work. Pros ought to be fired in the Sai management system. I found that if you are really sincere and you let Swami take charge, He takes you out of the loop. That is one thing that has been proven in this. Because we felt we had many ups and downs. Finally, I said, Swami, if you want it, it will happen. If you don't want it, it will not happen.
That's right.
We have to just work and do our best. Yatna Prayatana Manava Dharvam, Jaya Apajaya Devadinam. Once we took that attitude, and I said, I am not going to be bothered, sir, this is not working, that fellow is putting a stumbling block, this is not available. Then okay, whatever happens, happens. Then he took charge. He said, this is Sai Sankalpa,
right,
and he has made it. If these sort of, what you call, matches have taken place in the composition, how do you think it happened? Without Swami getting into the personality of the composer or the,
and the musician,
yes, or the student, all of them were been blessed. And the coming together is as great an event and happening as the final singing.
Very true, sir.
So, for now, I am swept by the aura of Swami and the way he functioned. As far as the future is concerned, my hope is this must become something like a mass movement. Even if it is not sung together in some occasions, if it becomes one of the backbones and established aspects of Carnatic music, that itself would be a great contribution. And hopefully, this is one of those other dreams I have, we can create a whole set of songs on Swami, regular songs, which can be sung in a kacheri, starting from Varnam right up to Tillana and Shloka.
Right.
In fact, in the very old days, I am told, Swami would compose a song and he would ask some devotees to sing. If I am not mistaken, the Kuppam sisters would set it to Carnatic music and sing for Swami. So it was, you see how much Swami was interested in music. Mm. He would compose a song and sing. And for the record, Swami himself has sung Tyagaraja's Sadinchine in Venkatagiri with accompaniment, and also Mamava Pattabhi Rama of Dikshadhar. And so Swami was not exactly what you call a casual listener. He was involved in music. Obviously, music came from him. But at the worldly level, he was involved in music. He liked music. He would appreciate musicians and so on and so forth. So that aspect of Swami must linger around. Exactly. It should not disappear, because that is the what you call the beautiful rasa, the fragrance of Swami's avatar. We cannot let it get lost in practical projects, hospital projects. They are all there. But I hope the fragrance of Swami's love and this thing will continue in the form of other songs, so that you can have an entire kacheri.
What is the kacheri?
Kacheri is a concert.
Concert
as a tradition.
I see.
For example, if you go to any kacheri, the Malladi brothers come and sing. They begin in a particular way and end in a certain way.
Yeah.
There must be a repertoire of songs which are musically very good, and the words must also be good. And you can sing before an audience.
Okay, now a question I'm dying to ask you all through this session is, how come you know so much about music? Do you have a musical background?
You want to really hear the story?
Yes, please.
It happened in the year 1942.
India was not even independent.
Oh, far from there. World War II was raging. Hmm. And Swami was giving darshan in Subbamma's house.
And where were you at that time?
I was in Karachi. The entire bunch of South Indians. You see, because of the war, all coastal cities had to be evacuated, including Madras. And Karachi was a coastal city. Though it was far away from Japan and Germany, it had to be evacuated. At least the South Indian families all evacuated. And it was a long journey. It took us 6 days to come from Karachi to South India. And I ended up in my grandmother's house in a small village.
In Tamil Nadu.
In Tamil Nadu, not far from Madurai, about 20-25 kilometers south of
Madurai. You were a little boy at that time?
Yeah, I was about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And we had to, my uncle, he was born in 1926, same as Swami, and he had just passed matric, and he later on went to Delhi and lived all his life there, working in government and all that. So he used to sleep next to me, and we used to sleep outside in the porch called Thinnai. Swami's house used to have that in one. And throughout the night, we'll be bitten by mosquitoes. At 4:30 in the morning, the cows will start coming, because people will bring in milk cows right in front of the house to make sure they don't add water. Then that's when you want to fall asleep. Then in all the houses, the young girls will start singing. Sasari, Riga, Gamama. And there I was in a coma. And I was cursing them. Said, may you all get horrible husbands. So what happened is, all these swaras got into me. It's like being taught in a coma.
In a very bad mood.
There was my uncle's daughter who used to be taught by a music teacher who would come and all that. So I would listen to all that because there was nowhere for her to go and I had to that. Slowly I got exposed to Tyagaraja's Kritis. And then, you know, familiarity smoothens things. Then I began, and I used to hear this radio, learn your music and all that. Slowly I began to like it. Then I began to go to concerts. Then I became a fan of many artists. And so, what I call, I was a cultural music fan, like many people are cultural cricket fans and all that. Mm. And my friend Vishwanathan was, and Venkatraman, S.S. Venkatraman, they were all very keen followers. So I began to know more. And there was another good friend of mine who came 2-3 years ago, Professor Radhakrishnan. He was more than an amateur. He learnt singing, he could play flute, he could play veena, and he could play mridangam. He's a passionate reader and all that, and he would interact with musicians. So I would go with him and talk to people and all that. Slowly it sort of got into my blood, and it stayed there. And I realized that the Carnatic music tradition is one of the great heritages of the past, and because it is blended with bhakti. And I appreciated that aspect a lot. After I came here, I was always very fond of Tyagaraja's songs, the life of Tyagaraja. And after I came here, I had an opportunity to read a lot about that and connect his thoughts with spiritual teachings and so on and so forth. And I realized this is one of the, to call, things that is easy to understand in terms of God. Because I just have to listen, think about bhakti, and there I am.
That's right.
So what does it matter how you go there? Mm. And one of the, in that course in 1996, Swami made it very clear, if you sing for showing off, it is no big deal.
Mm.
But if you really sing for me, you must forget yourself.
Mm.
The moment you forget yourself, it becomes advaitam.
Mm. Right.
Because you lose body consciousness. I want you to sing at that level. And that is in the North Indian tradition embellished in the story of Haridas, which we have enacted here. Those things, and it happened in the life of Tukaram. I don't know whether you are aware of
this. Yes, very much, yes.
Because in the he used to go to Pandharpur every year.
Yeah.
Last year he could not go, he was very sick.
Yes.
So he waited outside the village. And then the pilgrim party went, and when they came, they saw an aura about him. That means he was so immersed in Panduranga that he had forgotten himself. And that was when he gave up the body. So Swami insisted that your singing must make you forget, lose body consciousness. The moment you lose body consciousness, you are free from selfishness and
you observe some singers of high caliber such as M.S. Subbalakshmi singing. They seem to be so blissed out in the process.
That is because she was one who believed that music and bhakti go together. She has said so on record. Music without bhakti is nonsense. And unfortunately, most musicians sing for money. Or they say, I sing for myself. That self is the lower self. There are certain people, I don't care for anybody. No, that's not the attitude. I sing to get the attention of God. I sing so that God may glance at me. I sing so that He may accept my music. It is good, Bangaru. I like it. That's what. And Swami said, even if a child sings, it lists, it makes mistake. I look at its heart. And that is what I like. And when you have these very beautiful thoughts, you can shed all the complexities of theology, spirituality and all that debate. And it is so beautiful. It makes it simple. And you can connect to God so easily That's what sort of slowly strengthened my interest in music and my liking for music and my adoration of music and reverence for music.
In fact, sir, as you were just mentioning the last part, I was reminded of this 2016, the Aradhana Day. We had a group of small children.
Yes, I noticed on the video, I could see them. They were singing beautifully.
They were absolutely thorough with all the five songs.
Yes.
And it was amazing because in the previous day, that is 23rd evening, we had a sound check and seating arrangement. I just sat next to them. I was totally amazed. I mean, that pure interest. They were singing all the swaras and these are not easy compositions. Or even on the girls' side, they were school students. So on the first row, you had Padma Vibhushans and great musicians, and along them with them, children. I mean, it has become such a unifying factor.
All age groups.
All age groups.
In fact, the previous day, I went to a rehearsal. Then I sort of met them and talked to them.
Right.
And I was surprised. A small boy, he came and he said, "I'm also singing." I was taken aback. I said, "My dear fellow, I am very happy because this tradition is going to continue through you.
Right.
You are a great find.
Yes.
You are a blessed soul as far as." And then not only that, he did namaskaram in the traditional style, you know, abhivade and all that in Sanskrit. I was taken aback. Oh my God, in Mumbai these things still survive. So I felt very happy to see the younger people. So if they keep it alive, this tradition will continue. I mean, this cannot just go away. The roots of bhakti are pretty strong. They cannot be weeded away and burnt
right.
off.
So, in fact, one unanimous comment about the Sai Pancharatnas are, when you listen to them, they are absolutely blissful. And you relate to them, you are lost in bliss. You try singing them, then
no
you
boy.
Know it's complex.
That is tough.
The way the swaras are structured, your tongue has to go this way, that way, it will get lost.
But with practice, and it has been proven and shown that even children were able to sing along.
Actually, children are easier to train.
Right.
They have no hang-ups.
Exactly.
And they look so beautiful because they had dressed in the same colors as the adults, although they were wearing their lehengas, and the girls and little boys were wearing all whites. It was lovely to see so many generations, three generations singing.
No, we should thank the Sai organization and especially the Tamil Nadu organization who took, you know, a lot of interest in circulating the tutorials and practicing, having combined practice sessions in Sundaram at Chennai. And other states also, they have taken the...
Karnataka,
Kerala, and Andhra Pradesh. So, I'm sure...
If you want to do Thanksgiving, I have one major Thanksgiving.
Sure.
Sometime prior to this event, maybe a month or two before, actually 2 months earlier, Nimish Pandya came to me.
He is currently
the All India President. I have known Nimish for many years. And I told him, I say, look, when... just before Guru Purnima, Ashada Ekadasi, I didn't attend that. But I went, of course, on Guru Purnima day, I went for darshan because of my foot problem. But I heard the program, you get it on the loudspeaker. It looks like most of the singing was done by South Indian ladies. He said, yes. And then I said, I can recognize the way they sing. And they used to go past. So he said, Nimesh, you are going to send a lot of Mumbai mommies to my concert because they can sing very well and they will add a dimension to this. And he kept his word.
He sent all the Mumbai mommies and the mamas.
The mamas, I think, maybe came just for the ride. But the singing was done by the Mumbai mommies and Mumbai
children.
Boys and girls also.
In fact,
that was very nice.
Very good representation from all the states, and we had about 175 to nearly 180 people singing together. The energy was really tremendous, and even the first, that is 2015, when they started the first line, Pranamami Saisha, with boys and girls singing together, it had a tremendous impact.
In fact, first year we didn't have any girl, ladies, and my friend Radhakrishnan, who heard it in America, said, you are missing something. For the higher octave, you should have had the ladies.
Right.
So, it is very important. In fact, M.S. Subbulakshmi, in a later year, her voice became very bass. And she would have an accompaniment who will sing at a higher level.
Yes,
so it
always
adds, it's like a resonance, you know.
And an operatic
octave
effect,
So, here, group singing with discipline and complete coincidence made a difference. Normally when you hear Pancharatnas, everything gets blurred because the Sangatis are not all right, they don't follow. Here, because of the drill, there was a lot of drill
that
went in.
Right. And people enjoyed every aspect of it, right from the practice sessions and the final performance, of course. But every aspect of it and the whole joy of being able to sing such a composition.
And notice one thing. There were very few combined rehearsals.
Right.
You know, a symphony orchestra gets together and practices, the maestro conducts and all that. Hardly any time. And there is no conductor to say, do this, do that.
So they off-site in their own local areas, they did their individual...
Because of the standardization.
That is why it's possible.
The tutorial was the conductor.
Yes.
That's true.
Yes, that's excellent use of technology. Well, I'm sure the listeners along with me have learnt a lot about the Sai Pancharatna Kritis today. And this is a tradition that is going to obviously last for Swami knows how many years or decades or centuries. This is just going to grow. But I'm very glad that we were able to record this history and all that went into bringing it where it is today. And look forward to its growth. Thank you both very much for being on the show.
It was my pleasure to be here, and I didn't realize that I was going to learn so much.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be a part of this program and this project, and thank you for having me on air on this program.
Thank you. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Thank you. Mother, he said,